Well, I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decan, your rosary on the road. I don't have any special intentions in the inbox, but, I got two last week, and the two in a week is not bad, so I'm not complaining. I do, and I have an intention in mind for today. It seems like it's an appropriate one. But if you want to send in an intention or a prayer request or a question of any kind, I know I'm not a theology expert and I don't pretend to be anyone of teaching authority in the church, being just a layman, but I nevertheless am willing to field questions as far as I am able. And I certainly welcome any questions about things I've said on the show here. And of course, all of your prayer requests and intentions. You can send those into Daily Decan Requests. That's Decan, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And I'll be delighted to just get everybody on here to pray for you. Now for today, it's the day after Mother's Day, and I think that it's appropriate. Everyone prays for everyone's mother, on Mother's Day. And that's well and good. But our society has also come to a point where Mother's Day is really a day when mothers do very little as a sort of general gift to them, or they're supposed to, anyway. And so it seems interesting to pray for all the mothers on Mother's Day when that's supposed to be a day of rest and relaxation for them. I think it's more appropriate to pray for mothers on the day after Mother's Day when they're throwing themselves back into all of their responsibilities, especially younger mothers. So I'd like to pray in a particular way today as we come out of Mother's Day and out of Mother's Day weekend and back into the normal quotidian drudgery that makes up the day-to-day, especially of a young mother with young children, which my wife is. So that's what I'd like to pray for today, for strength and for fortitude and for all of those virtues which make for the good keeping of house and the successful raising of children. Now, today is a Monday, so we'll be praying in Latin today. Sorry for the pause there. I had to reach and find the rosary. I knew I had it here. Here we are. So we'll pray in Latin today for all the young mothers in particular, but all the mothers in general who are getting back into the swing of things after this weekend. In nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitti nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. Et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostri. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri, et Filio, et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. Salve Regina, Mater Misericordia, vita dulcedo et spes nostre, salve. Ad te clamamus exulis filii Evi, ad te suspiramus gementes et flintes in hac lacrimarum vale. Ea ergo, advocata nostra, illos tuos misericordes oculos ad nos converte. Et Iesum beatum fructum ventris tui, nobis post hoc exilium ostende. O clemens, o pia, o dulce Virgo Maria. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix, ut digni officiamur promissionibus Christi. Oremus. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Saint Anne, Mother of the Blessed Mother, we ask thy intercession on behalf of all of the mothers, young and old, who face the challenges of day to day, as thou didst bear with the loss of thy husband and with thy only child, called to a most unbelievable task, and thou didst believe, O Saint Anna. Facing all their trials, by thy intercession and the intercession of thy most blessed daughter, the mother of our God, may all of these women be strengthened, and may they face their day to day with joy and with humility before the throne of God at every task that is given them, with firmness before their children and love their whole family, in imitation of that love which was felt by you, O Saint Anne, and by you, our Blessed Mother, for thy Son. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, the grandson of Anna, the Son of God, who liveth and reigneth with God the Father Almighty and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our day to day, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, miserere nobis. Sacratissimo cor Jesu, adveniat regnum tuum. In nomine Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. what I was going to talk about today actually has absolutely nothing to do with mothers at all. Because aside from having a mother myself and having a wife who is a mother, I have no direct experience with motherhood at all, and therefore I would be reluctant and rather loath to give any advice or reflection on something which God has ordained that I should have no real contact with or understanding of. I'm not a priest, and so I can't give spiritual advice to mothers on the basis of the authority and teaching authority of the priesthood. And as a layman and as a man, there simply is no, what's the word I'm looking for? Experience isn't quite the right word, but a man can say what is right and just. And indeed, that's our job. We're here to be moral authorities. And that's why God made us the way that he made us, to be authorities. One of the defining trait, I think, of manhood is the exercise of authority. Not power, but authority. And so, when it comes to moral dictates of the faith, it is left to men to interpret those. But women have unique challenges and unique crosses to bear when it comes to motherhood in particular. And those crosses are very much their own. And how to bear with them, I can say that they must bear with them, but how to bear with them, you know, something actually useful, I am not really in a position to comment. And not only that, but I'm drawing a blank when it comes to a commentary that's appropriate to Mother's Day. I suppose one could say about the Blessed Mother, one could talk about the Blessed Mother and the way she responded to motherhood as a model for all mothers responding to motherhood, because she presents us with a model. Although I think the model that she presents does rather stop there. When you're raising the son, none of the rest of us are ever raising the Son of God. And so as far as discipline and education and whatnot goes, we're dealing with a slightly different animal, so to speak, than the Blessed Mother was. And so mothers is not the subject of what I wanted to talk about today. No, I thought instead, although it is somewhat related, I didn't want to talk about parents at all. No, I wanted to talk about uncles, actually, and the need to have good uncles. There's so many men out there, young men especially, who are having just a devil of a time finding a woman. And I've talked about this before a little bit, about the lack of women out there and about the problem that young men face. I certainly am very, very happy that I don't have to deal with this. Having a woman already is probably one of the greatest blessings that I could think of in this current environment, and I really do have significant pity for the men who are out there and trying to find a woman to settle down with. They are rather hard to come by. I can tell you exactly where they are, but there are a few places, and it's very difficult to, by the time you get there, oftentimes the good ones are already snapped up, so it's quite a situation. But one of the things that a lot of these men have to offer as brothers and as uncles is a unique part of a good Christian society. A man serves a certain role to his children. He is their exemplar. He's also their chief disciplinarian. He is the authority to whom they answer, and therefore he is their model for God in many, many ways. God is our Father, and he has chosen to reveal himself as that to us through his Son. God the Father, God the Son. Now, of course, God the Father and God the Son are not perfectly like what a human father and a human son are. After all, Christ is uncreated. He is begotten of the Father, but he's uncreated. And so he exists at the same time and in the same way as the Father. Obviously, that's incredibly different than any father and son here on earth. And furthermore, God the Father has nothing to teach God the Son, since they are one and the same God. Once again, different than human fatherhood. But nevertheless, the Father, by identifying himself as a father, gives us himself as God, gives to us from as a means to understand him as God, fatherhood here on earth, and the role that a father plays. And those roles can vary somewhat, but fundamentally they are the foundation of authority and of all the virtues that exemplify the love of God, because no one loves God as fully as God loves God. God is love, and love loves itself. It is complete and perfect. And so the love of a father necessarily must reflect the love of God in a similarly pure and perfect way. The uncle plays a completely different role, but one that's much more important, humanly speaking. Because in the way that a father cannot model, or in the way that a father models authority, masculine authority, and the sort of patriarch as a type, the uncle is different. The uncle models one of the most important elements of any functioning society, moral society, or any immoral society is automatically non-functioning, so that's rather redundant. He models male friendship. And our uncles are in many ways the first models of male friendship that we ever have. Now, we love our uncles differently than we love our fathers, and differently than we love our friends. They play a unique role in our lives. But there's a reason why nepotism exists. Now, nepotism nowadays means giving a job to somebody because you know them. I think, quite frankly, that this is condemned a lot more than it really ought to be. The idea that you secure work for someone because they are loyal to you or because they are known to you seems to me to be completely acceptable within certain confines, as long as it's not unethical. But it does run afoul of the meritocratic doctrines that make up the basis of liberal democracy, so it's frowned upon. But it has a long human history. Originally speaking, nepotism referred to the benefits bestowed upon the cardinal nephews of Italy. The idea being that, well, obviously a cardinal priest or a priest of any kind could not sire any children, but he could show favor upon those that were like children to him, and he could patronize them. And that's what he did. So he acted as a patron to a variety of men who were in his orbit, usually members of his own family, to whom was actually an uncle. And he was able to apprentice them to a certain respect, to a certain end, and connect them to the people that they needed to be connected with, and show them and guide them as a sort of mentor. Now, all men have sons as their apprentices, as householders and as fathers. That's the apprenticeship relationship that exists there. But uncles have a much broader scope. And a son going into the world, a man going into the world, can look to his uncles to see an example of what male friends do for each other, to shore each other up, to help each other seek out opportunities, to give advice where advice is asked for. And a good uncle steps into that role to be not so much a model, but rather a mentor. And those two things are somewhat different. A father is a model, and he can mentor, the verb. But to be a mentor rather than a model is the role of the uncle. He's there to give guidance. He's there to be supportive. He's there to be a friend in many ways. And he is also there to teach a young man how to be a friend to others. and how to shore up other men, and how to draw them out of the individuality to which we as fallen beings begin to slip automatically as we become adults. We slip into ourselves. That's part of the reason why individualism is such a problem, because our society is what is so thoroughly worldly that there is nothing to draw you out of this sinfulness. There's nothing to draw you out of yourself. An uncle is there to offer an example and to lend a hand for the first time in a man's life of drawing him out of himself as he begins to fall into himself and becomes too much an individual and too little a member of his clan or his family. The uncle is the first male extension of the family. And so there are many young men out there now who are seeking to find women, who are unsuccessful, these bachelors. But they have elder siblings, sisters and brothers who have been successful in this. And they have a unique opportunity there to serve as in this sort of quasi-vocation as an uncle, to model male friendship. And male friendship is something we really truly have lost in our day and age now. Men don't know how to really be friends with one another. Part of it is because the affection, natural affection of male friendship has been so clouded. The widespread existence of sodomitic practices makes it such that all male affection becomes suspect and therefore impossible. And we've become such a carnal society that those things which are largely spiritual, as agape love is, become hard to distinguish from that which is carnal and erotic. And so it's a very difficult thing to be a good uncle these days. It's a very, very difficult thing to be a model of male friendship or to practice any kind of male friendship. But male friendships are what bind societies together. And it's especially a Christian society where you have to shore up the young men that are coming into positions of authority. If they can exercise that authority well, then they've done well, their fathers have done well. But they also need to be able to exercise it in such a way as it does good for those around them and perpetuates itself. And uncles serve an incredibly important role in that. If we even look at our Lord, how many cousins and relatives he surrounded himself with, especially for members of his close family. We talked about his brethren and his mother coming to see him, and he says, "Who are my brethren? Who is my mother?" But the reality, but functionally speaking, the reality on the ground is that Christ surrounded himself with cousins. Several of his apostles were tied to his own family. He felt incredibly close to John the Baptist, and he was modeling a way in which families relate that we can all follow from, that we can all follow and draw from. And the other thing that being an uncle does is it gives a role to men who are lost. And there are so many of those today. And they could fill that role. They can form brotherhoods rather than families. And they can serve as models of friendship and fraternity and masculine love for one another before Christ, before God. And so we live in an age that is rife with problems, but also with opportunities for these young men. And I hope that they have, that some of you reflect upon what it means to be a good uncle, what it means, and not just in the strict sense of the word, but also in the more general sense that we get this concept of nepotism from, to be a patron and a support. God gave the apostles to be patrons of their individual churches, and they themselves had disciples whom were patronized by the apostles themselves, Timothy and Paul, Mark and Peter. You have these disciples of the disciples who appear throughout Scripture. And without those second disciples, there would be no church. It would not have been built up. They model a community, and the community of the priesthood and the community of the episcopacy, when it is well ordered, offers us an anchor and a rock around which all functioning society can be built. And it is a brotherhood and a system of uncles. And so my prayer is that in these times in which these things are so rare and so difficult to come by, the Holy Ghost will grant courage to men, both married and unmarried, young and older, to be good uncles and good brothers to one another, so that we might enjoy the society and the order that God intended when He gave us the first command to be fruitful and to multiply, and when He gave us all the subsequent laws on which good societies are ordered, so that through the work of both fathers and uncles together, we might pull ourselves closer to God, and He might see our efforts and reward us by pulling our society out of this pit into which we seem to have fallen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.